If you looked at the title of this message this morning, you might have thought, where in the world is he heading with that? They wander off into myths. We'll be looking at several scriptures this morning. 2 Timothy 4:4 is where we got the title of this. We'll be looking at that chapter at the end. It says, so that with their ears they will turn from truth and turn aside to myths. The ESV says they will wander off into myths. But if you want to be with me this morning, turn to Isaiah chapter 44, and you can be ready when we get to that in just a few moments. So let's just ask the Lord to bless our time. Father, thank you for the songs that we've already sung. We sing the mighty power of God, and that's what we're going to be speaking about today, just the glory we see around us, the Waymaker song, and again, the beauty of the screen and the pictures that we saw, again, just gorgeous, and we got to experience some of that, and we're so grateful for that. But Lord, we pray for a world that's lost, that is wandering off into myths, and we pray, Lord, that you would speak through us to a lost and dying world that is literally wandering from your word. And we pray that we would be burdened for that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you ever look at the world around us and just think it's absurd? It's crazy. You question the sanity of people. And I have a few pictures up here of things that people are believing. And they're educated people. We probably live in a society with more people who have college education to some degree than what we ever did in our history. But if I was just talking to you personally, I'd just say people are idiots. They're stupid. It's unbelievable how stupid people can be. And again, I just have a few things up here. The first one says abortion is health care. And that's what people believe. But they don't take it to the logical conclusion that if you went out today and you killed a mother or a lady who was carrying a child who was pregnant and you murdered her, you'd be charged with double homicide. Or if you waited a few months until that child was born and you killed it, you would be charged with murder. But yet they say it's okay to kill a child in the womb. Where do they come up with that? The middle one has been a picture. It's been around for a year, for several years. The one with the purple or pinkish hair is an MMA fighter who's a transgender who just got done beating the tar out of a woman. And he was praised as a hero for doing that. And there was one, a famous one, one of the very early ones, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, he was considered the athlete of the year. He had broken the skull of a girl that he was fighting. And they say that's okay. And yet these people will stand up and say, we believe in women's rights. And it's crazy, the mindset. Obviously, we all have seen this picture over here on my right, your, what would be your right, right? My left, your right. The whole evolution theory. This is a true one, which I did check it out just to make sure, and you've heard this before, but this is many classrooms, thankfully, they're not doing this yet in Wellsboro that I know of. But classrooms are told now they have to have cat litter boxes in the classrooms for kids who identify as a cat. Isn't that absurd? It's ridiculous. And then this one always just blows my mind. You probably can't read it, but it says abolish the police. Mindsets of people who believe stupid. Stupid things. Can you imagine our world? I mean, our country is bad enough as it is, but can you imagine without police? If they had their way, we wouldn't be safe. And we were out in Los Angeles, and I was talking to my son, and we didn't see police anywhere except he said he sees one, several when he gets off the subway in downtown Los Angeles. But other than that, you just don't see police anywhere. That's the way it is out there. This mindset of belief of stupid things. If we carry these things all through, I mean, if we really believe in evolution, there's more than one missing link, by the way, if you're ever to study that. But we can add to that the double standards that go on in politics. We have a current president who hid documents in his garage that were unprotected, and the former president's being facing trial for that, doing the same thing, but he was allowed to decertify and declassify certain things, and he did. So the double standards, this current president's son has been guilty of cocaine and all that stuff, and yet doesn't face any consequences of it. We live in a very ridiculously stupid society that wander off into myths. And I ask you to turn to Isaiah chapter 44, because this is what God is saying to the Israelites. We're going to look at verses 12 to 20. And just, I want you to read it. As I read it, think about what God's view of these people are. I mean, he comes out pretty strong against this, but listen to the stupidity of what these Israelites were doing. And this is all about idol worship. Beginning in verse 12, it says, "The ironsmith takes a cutting tool and works it over the coals. He fashions it with hammers and works it with his strong arm. He becomes hungry and his strength fails. He drinks no water and is faint." Verse 13, "The carpenter stretches a line. He marks it out with a pencil. He shapes it with planes and marks it with a compass. He shapes it into the figure of a man with the beauty of a man to dwell in a house." Verse 14, "He cuts down cedars, or he chooses a cypress tree or an oak, or lets it grow strong among the trees of the forest. He plants a cedar and the rain nourishes it. Then it becomes a fuel for a man. He takes a part of it and warms himself. He kindles a fire and bakes bread. And he makes a god and worships it. He makes it into an idol and falls down before it." Verse 16, "Half of it he burns in the fire. Over the half he eats meat, he roasts it and is satisfied. And he also warms himself and says, 'Ha ha, I am warm, I have seen the fire.' And the rest of it he makes into a god, his idol, and falls down to it and worships it. He prays to it and says, 'Deliver me, for you are my God.'" Verse 19, "They know not, nor do they discern, for he has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts that they cannot understand. No one considers, nor is there knowledge or discernment to say, 'Half of it I burn in the fire. I also bake my bread on its coals. I roasted meat and have eaten. And shall I make the rest of it an abomination? Shall I fall down before a block of wood?' He feeds on ashes." Verse 20, "A deluded heart has led him astray, and he cannot deliver himself or say, 'Is there not a lie in my right hand?'" This is God looking at these people who make the idols. I mean, it's one thing to be an idol worshiper and just buying it at the store, but the person who makes it takes the wood and burns, or cooks his dinner on the wood as he burns the wood, and the very same piece of wood, over here he makes an idol of it. And he's talking about that. He's saying, "Don't you understand? You can't understand. Your eyes are blind." He said, "Don't you understand? You can't even bring yourself to say, 'Is this not a lie in my right hand? I'm cooking on the piece of wood over here, but worshiping this piece over here.'" That is foolishness. Those are people who chase after myths. I had my sermon outlined before I even went on vacation, because I knew we were going to be getting back late, and I had planned on doing the church triumphant this morning, but I was just thinking about this over the last week especially, of the lies around us that people are believing in. So Thursday morning I came in. I didn't stay here very long because we didn't get back till 3 in the morning. Our flights were delayed. We were supposed to be back at 5 into Buffalo. Didn't get in until 11. By the time we got our car out of parking and drove home, it was really late. So I kind of outlined this message on Thursday and filled it in a little bit more on Friday. So if it sounds like it's kind of hit all over the place, please bear with me. But I want to speak on what I was challenged with over the last few weeks. And as we were talking with some of you, Cheryl and I had the privilege of traveling these last 2 weeks out in the West Coast, and we went to a number of national parks. Now, these are not our pictures, by the way. I just got these because Cheryl took a lot of pictures, and she did a really good job. There was some that I posted. They were my pictures, but my phone kept saying it's full, and it's not full, so I don't understand why it wouldn't let me take pictures. But we were thankful for an amazing trip. We were thankful that we got to see some of the most amazing sights in the world. And I told someone here this morning that this wasn't a fun trip necessarily. I mean, we had a good time, but I go to the beach and I have fun. This was just majestic. This was all inspiring. This was just an amazingly beautiful trip, and we got to see a number of sites. We saw the giant sequoias. We saw the redwoods. We saw Yosemite Park, which was my absolute favorite. We found that that's number one park, number one rated park in the world. But every corner was just something different. It'd be waterfalls. It would be mountains. It would be just grassy plains. It would be the lake that was flowing. The waterfall were flowing much like it is here in this picture. But we went to Yosemite, and we were talking to a couple of guys who were backpacking. And they were reading a sign. I said to them, I said, have you been here before? And they said, well, yeah, we've hiked every national park in the country except for two. And we come to Yosemite probably three or four times a year. And I said, it was deafening where we were with this waterfall. And I said, is this normal? And he said, no. He said, you're here for a once-in-a-lifetime experience with these waterfalls. He said, we've seen it flow, but nothing like this. And it was the snow and the rain melt-off that just added to this beauty. But they just said it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And we got to experience that. I was telling Billy, one of the roads that we wanted to get into was still covered with 18 feet of snow. So we couldn't drive it. So I know, and I put this down, I know a lot of you like that. When we were at Crater Lake, they got 53 feet of snow this year. And I know a lot of you would like to move our church up there just to be around that snow. It was amazingly beautiful. But I think the middle one at the bottom is Crater Lake. And it's just this majestic, deep blue. And it was just gorgeous. But each one was beautiful. Each one was just gorgeous. And as I said, every turn was just amazing. My brother-in-law told us, Dale said when we came home, he said, you've got to watch, if you've been to El Capitan, which is in Yosemite, he said, watch this movie off National Geographic that's called Solo. What was it? Free Solo. So we watched it. It was this guy climbing 3,200 feet free, no ropes, nothing. And Cheryl loved that. Cheryl can't go to an edge. Cheryl can't. If we knew we were going down the Pacific Coast Highway, which Russ told us about, you're just winding back and forth. Cheryl had to sit on the inside so she didn't have to look over the edge. So when we were watching this movie last night, she was a little ugh, but it was amazing. But there was one disappointing moment at our first stop. General Sherman is the largest tree in the world by volume. I think it's 87 feet circumference at the bottom, and it's 189 feet tall. So size-wise, just the volume of the tree, it's the largest in the world. But it was packed that day, and we came to a sign that's next to it. And I was very disappointed when I read that, and I showed my sister-in-law, and it said, thousands of years before humans inhabited the earth, spirit beings, and it went on about how the spirits of the park and of the world just kind of took care of things, and was just talking about spirit beings and spirit guides. And I said to my sister-in-law, I said, just with everybody reading, standing around reading, I said, isn't this sad? I said, how can anybody be foolish enough, and maybe I shouldn't have said that, be foolish enough to believe that this just came from spirit beings? I mean, just look at this stuff. And I said, this is amazing. How anybody could believe differently that this came from evolution, it just isn't smart. And I probably, nobody got offended that I know of. Maybe they were. Maybe they were mad that I said that. But Marilyn agreed with me, and we were just amazed that someone would write something like that. But that's what I'm talking about this morning. People go off into myths. They believe the foolish things. I looked up some information about the sequoia tree. Now listen to this. It's talking about the sequoia equals courage, and it comes from tree spirit wisdom. It says, the spirit of this ancient and enormous tree may appear sweet and gentle on the outside, but inside they have a courageous and fiery nature. The sequoia is here to help us to ignite our creative passion by encouraging us to tap into our inner wisdom and strength. You're going to get that from a tree. That is so absurd to me. I don't remember any more of what that sign said, but I can tell you, as a believer, you can't walk through that and just say, God is an awesome creator. God, thank you so much for leaving this forest and creating this forest in such a variety. And again, we live in a beautiful valley here. Dale told me, he sent home some pictures of the valley to people back in Coatesville, and they just said, where is that? That's so beautiful. Just down our cornfield and down this valley here. It's amazing. You walk down to the Grand Canyon, and it's just gorgeous in our own area, but the West Coast and those national parks takes everything up to another whole level. But when I came home and Dale and I were talking, I was telling about this, and he was talking about some of the naturalists that he used to read as a kid. And he said, I still enjoy them. But there was a guy named John Muir. I'm not sure if you say it Muir or Muir, M-U-I-R, lived from 1838 to 1914. And you see his name throughout many of the national parks out west, how he was really the one who kind of founded it and got it going. But he, and again, I put this up here, not that you can read it all, but just so you can see some of the things that John Muir wrote. He said, keep close to nature's heart and break clear away once in a while. Climb a mountain or spend a week in the woods. Wash your spirit clean. Wash your spirit clean. He said, rocks and waters are words of God, and so are men and bacon and weed. We all flow from one fountain soul, all of our expressions of one love, one heart. Let's get together and feel all right. That is the writing of, again, John Muir. And I've read some of those naturalists, and Dale said, what's so sad is, and there's many of them, I wrote down some of the other names, Jason Hutchings, Vernon Bailey, George Catlin, they all get to this point, and they're looking at creation, they're looking at what we looked at Yosemite, and it's like, yes, this is so gorgeous, this is so beautiful, this is so amazing, but they never get to the point where they say, praise God for his creation. They are all looking at it and just thinking it came from evolution, that it just exploded. They never get quite to Psalm chapter 8. Turn back into Psalm chapter 8. There's starting at Isaiah 44, coming to Isaiah 8, and we're going to close with 2 Timothy 4 in a few moments. But I want you to compare what these people are writing about. Wash your spirit clean, and we're all one soul. Let's just be happy. Let's feel all right about ourselves by going out into the woods. They never get to the point where David writes this in Psalm chapter 8. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. Listen to this. Look at your heaven in verse 3. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you're even mindful of him, and a son of man that you care for him? Verse 5, yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and all the beasts of the field, the birds of the heaven, the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. How can anyone walk the paths that Cheryl and I, my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, and I know the Mannies and perhaps some of you other have been in some of those places, how can anyone walk along those paths and say, let's just wash our spirit clean. Let's just enjoy it. We did enjoy it. But I don't know you can really enjoy it without a relationship with Christ. I don't know how anyone can enjoy what they were looking at in Yosemite and the redwoods and all those places and not have a relationship with the one we know created it. It's amazing to think that these people are believing some of the trash that they believe. And again, forget the stuff about abortion being healthcare and all those other things, but think about man descending from an ape. Think about all the lies that are being taught in school and kids and young people and adults believe it. They're wandering off into mist. So how do we explain all of this? Well, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. That'll be our final place where we are this morning. But David got the picture right. I don't think David ever walked through Yosemite or any of the national parks here in America. But had he would have written the same things. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Only God, you could create El Capitan. Only God, you could create waterfalls that gorgeous. Only God, you can create what we see around us. All these beautiful lakes and mountains and hills and valleys and Crater Lake just being so perfectly blue. And only God, you can create that. That didn't come from any other air, any other source, only from God. So how do we explain this? If you look at 2 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 1, it says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And then I have verse 4 up here. For the time will come, but it says, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into lies. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, and do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. That final picture here is Mount Rainier in Washington, and that was an amazing. We were, Cheryl and the family were trying to get pictures of it, and Cheryl said, I wonder how far that is away. It looked like it was just right down the road. It was 185 miles away from us when she asked that. And then we got to Seattle, I think it was like 80 miles away. But it still was just this amazing view of snow on the hill in July. And again, you know how much I love snow. But all around us today, we see people. And we come in contact with people at work. If you're in a classroom, you see it all the time. People who have wandered off into myths, and they don't even realize it. They don't realize what they're not believing because of the stuff that they are believing. They're not believing in the one who created it all. They're not believing in the one who came to die on the cross for their sins. They're not believing in the one that can save them from eternal destiny of hell. They have wandered off into lies. The very one that they deny is the only one that can save them. And as I read these writers, these naturalists, and just wish I could just push them, not over the ledge, but push them to the site where they can set, right, go back and write. This is all from the hand of a mighty God. It's not just by chance. It's not a place, by the way, you cannot wash your soul any place other than until you come to Christ. And aside from the saving grace of Christ, that's the only place you can wash your spirit clean. But I tell you, the last week, the Lord was very much convicting me of allowing the world's attitudes to get on my nerves rather than forcing me to get on my knees and pray for them. And I sit there and just roll my eyes last week at some of the things that you see and some of the things you see written down and understanding that people are lost and they're seeing the same sights that we're watching and looking at and walking away, not having any idea that it came from the hand of a divine creator. And folks, you and I need to tell people about that. We have people all around us who are wandering into myths. You might have family members who deny Christ. We need to live him out. We need to be bold. We need to be telling others. I don't know if Cheryl heard this, but we were at the airport on Wednesday in Seattle waiting to take off. And a girl came to our gate with a young boy, but not a girl, it was a woman. And I had just gotten something to eat because we didn't have any breakfast. And this woman came by us, and she was standing right in front of my brother-in-law. And she was just sobbing. And the young boy, he was probably about 15, finally went to the front of the line. He kept pushing his mom away until he got to the front. And then he reached back and he hugged her, and she just sobbed. And then she went and just sat near Rob. And Rob said to her, he said, is your son going away? And she goes, yes, he's going to visit his father. And he goes, is this the first time? She goes, he's never been away from home before. And she said, Rob said, how long is he going? And he goes, be gone for a month. And she just started sobbing. And Rob goes, can I pray for you? It was so neat. She said, sure. And Rob prayed for, I had a mouthful of food. So Rob prayed for Kelly, was her name. And he didn't share Christ. He didn't preach the gospel. He didn't confront her with her sin. He just said, I'm sure that's so hard. And he turned to me, he said, you know, because he was the principal of a Christian school, and he said, divorce is such a hard thing. Such a hard thing for kids, and he felt so bad for Kelly, and Kelly stayed around for another 10 minutes until that plane took off, and then she kind of wandered off, but Rob gave her at least a chance to hear about a Savior, and he thanked God for Kelly, and he prayed for safety for her son, and he prayed for if it would be possible for a restoration of their family. Don't know if that'll ever happen, but folks, that's the type of thing we need to do. We need to be bold enough to pray for people. We need to be bold enough to tell people about this myth that they've wandered into and the truth that they've left behind. Folks, we need to be evangelists. That's what Paul closes with. He says, do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. How are you doing? For people who are desperately lost, people who are desperately walking off into mist, into a dying world and a Christless eternity. I just want to spend just a couple minutes as we close here. Perhaps the Lord's laying someone in your mind that you need to pray for, that you need to speak to. Maybe it's a Kelly, like Rob spoke to. Maybe it's someone at work. Maybe it's someone in your family. Someone who needs the gospel, and right now they've kind of wandered away. They don't want anything to do with the truth of God's word. But God's laying them on your heart. Let's just quietly, not even praying out loud, just quietly for the next few moments, just pray that God would use someone, send someone to him, whether it's going to be you or someone else, that God would speak to their hearts, penetrate their hardness, and direct them out of the myths of the world and into the truth of his word. Lord, I know that each of us has a handful of people that we know who are lost. Perhaps it's a family member, perhaps it's a child or a parent, perhaps it's a cousin or just a neighbor. But Lord, someone who's maybe heard the word before and turned their back on it. We hear stories all the time of people who were brought up in church who rebelled and gone against it, want nothing to do with religion at all or relationship with Christ any longer. We pray for those people, Lord, who are just as lost. Even if they've heard the word and they rejected it, they're just as lost as those who've never heard it. And Lord, I pray that we would be prayer warriors and we would do the work of an evangelist that you've called us to do, that we would be bold. And Lord, again, it might not be a full evangelism explosion outline of starting with their sin and taking them to the cross, but Lord, just praying for them and letting them know that there is a Savior who loves them. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to be bold, help us to be willing to step out and to pray for people, to talk to people, to share the gospel with people who are desperately lost. And Lord, again, it amazes us to think about the stuff that people believe today, how they can be so dumb in believing some of the things that were up there, some of the things that we hear about on the news that people believe of transgenders being okay to be in the woman's locker room or to compete against them in a fight. Lord, all that stuff is so absurd to us. They're wandered off into myths. And then we think of people who look at creation and think, wow, it's amazing that came from an explosion. How can people believe that? But Lord, help us to represent you well to a lost world. Again, we thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for saving grace you've bestowed on us, and help us to represent you well out to the world in Jesus' name. Carlene's up in Junior Church. We're going to listen. If you know this song, I want you to sing along with it. It's called Amazed. And it's a great song to finish this message out, okay? And then we'll come to the communion table.
You dance over me while I am unaware. You sing all around Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. You paint the morning sky with a miracles in mind. My hope will always stand, for you hold me in your hand, Lord. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you. How you love me. Whoa. Lord, I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed.
I trust you are amazed this morning just by God's presence, by his blessings, by his creation, by his goodness, and by his death in our place. The ushers are getting ready. I ask them to come forward as soon as they meet back there. We are grateful for what